a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting,
hope in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. But you know, that's enough. That's enough. Absolutely. And we do welcome you to Hope is Alive. And I guess we've got Pete callers on. I don't get to check them before we get on there, but I'm just going to step out in faith. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Richard, and God bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, too. Thank you for joining us. And we had a great time in Branson, and maybe we might have a minute or two to talk about that tonight. And I think you've got one caller scheduled in. I didn't get the text or email today, so you have to forgive me.
Yes, there's one scheduled to come in about 9:15.
Okay.
And that'll be a very interesting interview.
Well, great.
Yes, Branson was awesome. I my first time there, of course, and I so enjoyed meeting everyone. I just felt right at home.
Well,
you know, it's a funny thing when you see Christians, it's like you've known them all their lives.
Yes,
or in all your life. It's an immediate thing. That's what's the best word to use? You just feel like they're old friends, and it must be because, you know, our spirits are just connecting, and it just flows. It's amazing to me how I see that happen so often, and it doesn't take but a few minutes, and it seems like you've known the person all your life.
So yes,
that was the way it was at Branson. I really enjoyed meeting everyone and the teachings and all.
We're good. Glad to hear that. You know, several years ago, we were at a different place in Branson, and there was a security guard there, older man, And you could tell he was a kindred spirit. And we had at that time, some different people played music and sang songs and different things like that. And he came in and just stood off to the side, keeping an eye on things. But, you know, before long, you could see him tapping his toes and humming along. And I got to talk to him, and we had never met him before, and got to see him for a couple years there. But he mentioned that very thing. He said, you know, this is he said, kindred spirits. You can tell that they're Christian. And he said it reminded him of a family reunion, you know, of going to a family reunion down in the South where aunts and uncles and everybody's come around, and it's a joyful time. And everybody is of one mind and one spirit, and they're happy to be there. And, you know, they're not there to please self, but to help each other and to have a good time. And he said that's what it reminded him of, was a family reunion. And I told him that's exactly what it was. It was a family reunion of the family of Christ. And
that's it.
And
that's
that, it, exactly. And it is. And it is. And so, praise the Lord. We praise the Lord.
Well, I just finished deliverance. I started at 3:30. I'm still at the ministry office.
Oh, wow.
And went to 8:30. And it was with a man that was having problems with his spouse and some sexual lust spirits bothering him. And it just went great. Took a little longer than usual. It wasn't all deliverance. He was a pretty good talker, and he likes to fish, and we even talked about fishing a little bit here and there. So anyway, it was a delightful time and a wonderful time, because he went out a really happy camper, and I showed him how to pray for his wife, at praying at distance, like is in the book, page 51, and he's going to start that. And I'm believing that she has a lot of gifts. It just, she lets a whole bunch of spirits come in. It was obvious from what he told me. But I'm believing that each of them, after getting delivered, will become one of our team leaders at Deliverance Ministries. I can see that. I just really felt that in my spirit. It's going to happen. So, praise God. She's got to come in for ministry yet. He didn't think she's ready, but by that praying at distance, it's very likely she'll get to the point she'll reach out.
Amen. And you know that, I think I mentioned it in Branson, but there in Corinthians it tells us, you know, praise be to God who comforts us, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others. And you know, people, you might think, well, you know, if he comforted us, let him comfort, why doesn't he just comfort others? But that's not how he works.
Yes.
That's not what his word says. He comforts us so that we can comfort others. He teaches us so we can teach others.
Yes.
He helps us with these things like you're talking about so that we can help others with those things. You know, he loves us so we can love others. He forgives us so we can forgive others. I think it applies to so many things. And when we do that, we're doing his will. You know, we're helping the brethren. We're showing that we love our neighbor as ourselves. When we do those things,
and the forgiving is still the most major of the 15 doors we've identified that evil spirits can come through to torment Christians, and it's I had to work on it a lot with this man this afternoon, and he had his share of forgiving to do, which is typical. And of course that unforgiveness door will allow spirits of sickness come in constantly. We just see that over and over. I even had an example, it was Monday night. We had 16 or 17 cases Monday night, there was a man that on praying for his short leg. Normally it'll come out pretty fast, but we ran into the same thing of it came out part way and stopped, and I've learned when it doesn't come all the way out that there's probably more unforgiveness, and so That's exactly what I said. There must be more unforgiveness. Holy Spirit, show them who else they need to forgive. And finally, here came some more names voicing out to Jesus, I forgive so-and-so and I bless them. And after three or four of those, the leg came right on out. And I've seen that so many times.
And you know,
it's so obvious that he...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Pastor Cox. You know, people may hear that and just not believe it. It's just as simple as that. Christians may hear that and not believe it. And, you know, we, especially on this ministry, we've been taught to be skeptical. Okay, we have. Because we've seen that what is good and pure in the Word of God has been taken by some and perverted and all but blasphemed. But, you know, we read of things like you just described in the Bible, of healings, of restorals, of withered hands returned. You know, you read in Acts 4, the man that was crippled since birth, he was over 40 years old, and Peter and John said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have I'm going to give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And immediately that man's legs that had been destroyed for 40 years were restored. Now we either believe that in the Word or we don't. And just what you're saying about the man's leg extending out, we had that same miracle happen in Branson. I'm here to tell you, this is Richard, been on the ministry for 22 years. I've been out here at the radio ranch for 15 years. I had the testimonies given to me in Branson that our men saw it. It happened. The man had to go home. He had a 2-inch riser, I think, on one shoe. And his leg grew. I think you were there, Pastor Cox.
Yes.
And it happened. It happened. Praise the Lord. It happens. And I just share that because, we have to grow. We have to grow beyond where we are, beyond where our understanding was yesterday. And we see it in the Word. Praise God, we should not doubt it when we see it happening in the flesh. Anyway, I'll turn it back over to you. I just felt led to share that
well,
with the listener.
It's easy for me to believe it, Richard, because I've seen 38 years of it.
Yes.
The little church that I started going to back then in 1978 was doing that, and it amazed me then and still amazes me to see sometimes a leg or an arm that's 2 or 3 inches short. It's not often, but we do see them, and to see it adjust out to be equal to the other, and then we find out the back pain is gone. And what the results of that. So it's we're to believe by faith first, but I can tell you it's certainly easy to believe when you've seen it.
Yes, it is.
And seen it over and over. I have no doubt the Lord will do it, but unforgiveness will block it, as Jesus said, will be turned to the tormentors in Matthew 18:34 and 35, I've seen that over and over. You don't get all the unforgiveness out, including forgiving yourself or forgiving God if you blame Him for something. Demons will hold on to that. It gives them a legal right because they're being tormented.
You know, we had called for a solemn assembly in Branson, and that's what we had. But there was a secondary theme that just came out, and it was just what you're talking about there, Pastor Cox. It was forgiveness. John spoke about it. I spoke about it. Chris spoke about it. When ministering with people one-on-one, it came up that it was a problem. And, it is. It is a hindrance. It is something that we are told in the Bible that if we want God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. You know, yes, Jesus forgave us of everything. Yes, while we were yet sinners, He went to the cross. But the Word says that, but it also says that for Him to forgive us, we have to forgive others. And in the physical, in the natural man, it's a very hard thing to do. But when
yes,
we can overcome that natural, then we can.
flesh would rather get revenge.
Isn't that what we hear all the time? Isn't that what we hear all the time? You know, revenge is a dish best served cold. You know, and we wink and we think, oh yeah, I'll get them back. I'll get them back. And you're the one that gets got back. You're the one that gets handed over to the torturers that we read about in Matthew. And it's, you know, but we can either go along like that or we can believe the word. Well, Pastor Cox, phone lines are ringing. I'm Gavin here. Let me bring a caller on. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Hope is Alive program.
Hey, Richard. It's Willis again.
Hey, good evening, Willis.
Illinois. Hey, I was wondering if I might be able to give a brief testimony on myself.
All right.
If you guys don't mind.
Sure.
I know the show's about testimonials, and I thought I'd just share one. I never really have given one before, but you know, I was raised in a family that feared God and loved God, and my parents did the best they could to teach me the right way to go. And as I got to be a young teenager, got that rebellious streak, and kind of pleaded with them not to make me go to church all the time. And you know, I guess they talked to their preacher about it, and he said, well, if he doesn't want to be there, they didn't want him there, you know. And man, I'll tell you what, I went for years, and I just steadily got worse, I guess you could say, looking back on it now. You know, I got involved in drugs and alcohol and going to rock concerts and hanging out with the wrong kind of people, and one thing led to another, and it took years and years of, I'm sure, of my parents and others praying for me to be delivered out of that lifestyle. And I guess in the early 80s I kind of got involved in the Patriot Movement, which kind of pulled me away from some of the other things I was doing, which was a blessing in itself. And though I wasn't totally clean, I kind of got involved in that a little bit. And for years I've just traveled everywhere with different people, going to meetings and talking about this, that, and the other, you know, and the whole shebang with the Patriot Movement. And the only thing I can really say good about that is that one day it just kind of hit me, you know. I had rooms full of paperwork and just all kinds of different stuff, and I was never reading the Bible. And my dad introduced me to one of Pastor Peter's sermons. Oh, I believe it was Bible Zoo. And that was the first one I heard. And then a message from Jack Moore, that I think it was called I Was There, about his wartime there in Korea. And how he promised the guy that if he pulled him through it, that would spend the rest of his life spreading the gospel, which he did. But you know, even for years after that, I still struggled with really trying to come to repentance and baptism. And praise God, one day my dad took my wife and I both down to a lake that was iced over down here in southern Illinois. And I think it was in February, and baptized us for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's just my life has just completely and totally changed from where I was 20 years ago and 30 years ago and even 10 years ago. And you know, I listened to Pastor Peter for years and years and years, and got such great teaching from him, who I consider to be one of the only modern day prophets, and I was blessed and privileged to be able to listen to him and to hear the messages. Every one was a small step of growth, amen. Some large steps of growth, and some I had to chew on for a while.
Amen.
But, he was involved with several different ministries, and and really just started feeling more spirit-led to dedicate our spiritual time to Christ through listening to Pastor Peters. And I wanted to say what a blessing that was for the entire family. We went for years without really fellowship other than just family.
Sure.
And you know, the kids all felt left out because, you know, we're the only ones on the planet who think like this, and you know, that kind of mentality.
It's easy to it's easy to think that at times. It really is. So
absolutely.
Right. Well,
absolutely.
Willis, I got another caller. I think the caller that was scheduled to call in to give a testimony as well, and so I didn't want to. We've kind of had him on hold here for about 5 minutes.
We
sure appreciate.
Real quick,
the call.
I just want to praise our Lord and Savior, kinsman Redeemer Jesus Christ, for having the great patience that He had, and taking the time to work with myself and my family.
Amen.
And deliver us out of this world.
Amen. I agree with you 100%, brother. I say the same thing. Praise the Lord. Our God is an awesome God. You know.
Amen.
I'm so glad that He didn't just say, "Okay, it's all over," you know, 25 years ago, because I'd have missed out. I'd have missed out. My whole family would have.
Even the big job that you guys have, and the job that Shannoniah has, and yeah, I'm going to tell you what, man. When I'm driving down the road and I pop in a CD, it doesn't matter how I feel. If I'm getting sleepy, I wake up and I start singing, and it's just one blessing after another.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, thanks.
Hopefully, if Shannon and I is on or listening, I want to tell him congratulations as well.
All right.
And you too, Richard, on the new grandchild.
All right. Thanks, brother. God bless.
Good night.
All right.
God bless you. Goodbye.
Well, we do have another caller, and we'll bring the caller in. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Cynthia, is that you?
It is. Hi, Everett.
Hi, Cynthia. Thank you so much for calling in and being on the show. Richard's on with me here. Richard's up in, you're in Wyoming, aren't you, Richard?
Yes, we're just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And
right.
Yes.
Well, beautiful country up there.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Wish I was up there right now doing some trout fishing. Well, Cynthia, thank you for calling, and I asked you to call in to see if you might share how you first got introduced to this works of Jesus that He commanded believers to do, that's commonly called deliverance, even casting out of evil spirits, and how you saw the reality of it, and any experiences that you might feel led to share.
All right. I'd love to. Well, I have taught Bible studies to churches in a community-type Bible study where 60 churches would be represented for almost 40 years. And at this point, I had probably been teaching for about 25 years. And what I would notice would be that as I was teaching a Bible study on inner healing, and I would notice that when the people were in the Bible study, that they would have victory for a period of time. But as soon as the Bible study was over and they would sort of get back into the same mindsets, they would be back in the very same strongholds. And it was so discouraging to me. It broke my heart, really, to see how many people were struggling with fear, insecurity, depression, just the same things, and it seemed like they could never break out. So really out of compassion, one day I just prayed and I said, "Lord, I really and truly, if you want to use me in any way, use me. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care if you tell me to spit in the mud and make mud pies and put in their eyes. I will do that. However you would want to use me to bring healing and deliverance to your people, I'm ready for that." And so I knew a little bit about deliverance, not very much. And at that time, Everett and I were going to the same church. And I knew Everett ministered in deliverance and loved that. And so he was having a class on deliverance, and I decided I'd go to it. So I went to it and loved it, thought it was so interesting. And a few days later, I was in a ministry situation with some college girls. And this one girl was very emotionally tormented and suffering from just feeling like she could never measure up. And so there were several of her college friends that were together with her. They had contacted me to pray for her. And so I said, well, girls, why don't you join me in this, and we're going to pray. And whenever we bowed our heads to start praying, I just heard the Lord say, I'm not going to put a Band-Aid on her. And so I just thought, well, how sweet. You know, Lord, you're going to really minister and really touch this young woman. And in the class, Everett had said that a lot of times he would have people put their hands on their stomach. And I just was kind of following what I had, you know, heard Everett say that night. And so I said, well, put your hands on your stomach, and I addressed that spirit of feeling as if they could never measure up. And when I addressed that spirit, much to my surprise, there was a strong manifestation where this girl's neck, the blood vessels popped out of her neck, and her eyes rolled around, and it was just a very dramatic manifestation. And the other young college girls sitting around, their eyes were just as big as saucers. And I just said, girls, just plead the blood of Jesus over her. There's nothing to be afraid of. And so I just began praying. At that time, I didn't know to tell the demons to be quiet. And so it was, we kind of had a real bout, just bringing the blood of Jesus against that spirit and commanding it to leave. And finally, after a period of time, it was probably about 5 minutes, that spirit just left her. And when it did leave her, you could just see, it was almost like there was something visibly going through her, from her stomach through her and out her head. You could just, you didn't see it visibly, but you could tell what was going on. And she just sort of just collapsed and just was just weeping. And the girls were just in astonishment. And so the Lord said to me, he said, we've just begun. And so for the next 2 hours, the Lord would just show one spirit after the other, and we would address that spirit and command it to go. And there was a strong manifestation really pretty much every time. And I thought we were finished. And I said to her, I said, I think we're finished. And all of a sudden, I saw a demon manifest in her eyes. It just glared at me. And I said, well, it looks like there's still another spirit there. And she said, there is. I saw it look at you. And so I said, well, we're not going to leave any spirits here. So we went against that spirit, and it left. And the thing that was so interesting, these other three or four college girls, they all came from completely different denominations. And when we finished, they said, I will never doubt the power of God again. They had so seen God move and deliver their friend. And it was, you know, when you see that kind of thing, you don't have to wonder if spiritual warfare is real or not. You are, I mean, it settles that question for you. You know you're not fighting against flesh and blood. And so, anyway, that was really my introduction into it. And then I called Everett when I got home. And so for the next year, really, I spent a lot of time ministering with Everett and sitting under him. And there was another lady that really operated in deliverance in the Oklahoma City area, and I would minister with her. And God just brought person after person that was their most major need. And so that was kind of my introduction into it, which was really a little over 20 years ago. So that's how I got into it.
Oh, that's awesome, Cynthia. And I, of course, heard many stories of people you've worked with and helped them. And Cynthia is kind of on a women's speaking circuit. And you go all over the country, don't you, Cynthia, speaking at different women's groups especially?
Yes. And you know, it's really interesting because I also minister in the maximum security prison in Oklahoma, and it's outside of Oklahoma City, about an hour outside. And I'm very careful how I teach Bible studies. I'm very careful how I minister because I really don't want those spirits to manifest in the prison. They would kick me out. And God uses that ministry, and many of them get saved every time I go. But it was real interesting because one of the prisoners came up to me at the end after everybody was leaving, and she said, I have a real demonic stronghold, and I can tell that you know what to do about that and how to pray about that. And so I was able to really minister to her and to see that spirit leave without it being anything disruptive, you know, where nobody else really knew what was going on, because that would be, I've always wanted to be real careful because I teach a lot about strongholds and about getting free, but I don't really minister deliverance there because it would be a mess. but they recognize that there are strongholds, and they recognize that's what they're dealing with, and they're not just fighting against flesh and blood. So I had to be real careful about that because some of the authorities in the prison, they don't want me to teach that very much. And I'm just like, well, if anybody needs to know about demonic activity, it's people that are in prison, and many of them for life.
I'll say.
So,
well, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
so anyway, it's a great joy to see people really set free. And here's the thing, is that it's kind of like whenever someone goes through deliverance, that stronghold that the enemy has had on them is broken. But they still have to do the hard work of renewing their mind. Because the Bible says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so it seems that with deliverance, that whatever that stronghold is that the enemy has had on them in their minds, in their thinking, that it is broken so that truth can then begin to enter into them, and they can begin to walk by the light of God's word, where many times before deliverance there's such a blockage there that they can't apply what they're learning. It's almost as if it can't get through.
Yes, so true, because they were blocking. And,
right.
And you pull those strongholds down. Yeah. And, of course, we teach there's keys for staying free, as we often say. Getting free is one thing, staying free is another. And so you've got to do some things. It's also in my book on the keys for staying free. And if a person will abide and do those, then it's not that hard to stay free. You need to get some education about the spirit world and how to deal in it, and then, praise God, you can have life abundant without the several dozen some odd spirits bothering the person. So that's why Jesus commanded believers to do this. I see it very clearly today.
Yes.
Well, your
and you know,
husband's
so
even
many
had,
church people they don't really want anything to do with deliverance, and they are of the opinion or thought that a believer, if someone really knows Christ, they can't be bothered by a demonic spirit. And that's really incorrect, because the thing is that a demonic spirit cannot affect someone's born-again spirit. But what it does attack and affect is their mind, their will, and their emotion, the soulish realm of a human being. And so we can have anything we want. And you'll see a minister or someone that really loves God, and they just, you know, maybe they watch a movie one night that is very sexual, and then maybe they do it again, and before you know it, that spirit of pornography and sexual perversion has entered into them, and they can't get free. And so that's a perfect example of opening up the door to a demonic spirit where a stronghold comes in, and someone that loves the Lord. And so that's the fallacy, is so many people are afraid, and they won't allow for the fact that a believer can also be very controlled by a demonic spirit in their mind, their will, and their emotions.
Yes. And I might add in the body as well, because the spirits of infirmity,
right,
even, and they're obviously, many of them hanging out in the body area, because so many people physically feel them move around and come out.
Oh, absolutely,
so, yeah. Yeah, that's so true, yeah. Well, we've learned step by step, Cynthia, and a lot of listeners are out there. They're learning step by step, and that's where we all are. It's a big gospel, and it's certainly a big spirit world. I had no idea that demonic was so widespread and causing so many problem areas in people, and in Christians even. I had no idea about that, and I was age 44 before I got introduced to this, and I was very naive and had no idea about doors and things. And so it behooves a Christian to really start learning about this and getting some knowledge to maintain their freedom and then to help others.
Exactly. But a lot of people, they're of the opinion that if you leave the devil alone, he'll leave you alone. And but ignorance is bliss, and it's really just the opposite. I mean, ignorance just gives him free reign. And so, you know, to deny and to be afraid of something that God's given us power and authority over, it is really a sad situation in a believer's life, because we don't have to be afraid of the enemy. We face a defeated foe.
Yes. Luke 10:19 is always a good one for people and for Christians,
yes,
to learn, where we have all power in Jesus' name over the enemy, and nothing will harm,
yes,
us. But you do have to learn it and speak the word so the word will perform itself.
Right.
One of those steps.
Right. Right.
Well, Cynthia, I appreciate,
absolutely,
you calling in. It's awesome that you've had all these years of ministering to women and others in your travels and all. It's great,
uh-huh,
to have that understanding. What if you didn't have this understanding, Cynthia? You know.
I it would make me so sad, because my heart is to see people grow in their understanding of God's love for them and their freedom that they have in Christ. And so it would just leave a huge portion of that, of people really unhelped, you know, that they wouldn't really find that kind of healing and deliverance. And so I'm very grateful. I think if you have a heart for God's people and you have a heart to see people truly healed, that, you know, it's something that you are very grateful for, that God has shown that and you've been exposed to it and been able to operate in that kind of ministry.
Yes. And that all fits in with those commands of Jesus, again, for what we're to be doing.
Right.
Well, thank you, Cynthia, for calling in. It's been a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you in a while and sharing. I know that certainly will ring bells of people listening out there, because so many have not heard what you just shared.
Well, good. I'm glad.
So give Buddy my regards. And Buddy, incidentally, had some healing. We were talking earlier about backs and,
yes,
back pains and all. And I remember coming over to the house and ministering to Cynthia's husband when he had a back problem. And the root of it, he had picked up some unforgiveness. And we were just talking about that earlier. As soon as he did the forgiving, his short leg came out. He was ill. He was
That's
ill.
Right. That's absolutely right. And it was miraculous. He couldn't move at all.
Yeah, blows us all away. Power in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we do have another caller, so Ms. Cynthia, thank you so much, and we'll say goodnight and try to get this other caller on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
bless
you, Cynthia.
Thank you.
God
bye-bye.
Bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And Pastor Cox, we do have another caller. I don't know if you had one expected, but, hey, a caller is always welcome. Hey, good evening, and welcome to Hope is Alive.
This Richard, is Richard is Peterson. Everett asked me to call in this evening.
Thank you, Richard. This is another Richard on the other end here. He's up in Wyoming. And but Richard Peterson in Oklahoma City is with me in with Deliverance Ministries. And I'd ask him to call in and share the same line of thought on how he first learned about this works of, and how it can help people. So, Richard, in the remaining time we have, why don't you go right ahead and share?
Okay. My first experience with Deliverance was in 1972, July of 1972, when Derek Prince came to Oklahoma City. We were actually attending a different church, but heard that Derek Prince was in town in July. And so we went to the meetings. He taught on Deliverance Monday through Thursday evenings. And if you have ever heard or read Derek Prince, you know that he focuses on the scriptural perspective and gives a good solid foundation before any kind of ministry. And then on Friday night we received deliverance, and it was a mass deliverance. That's one of the things that Derek Prince was doing in the 70s, was mass deliverance. And so in a meeting of about 1,000 individuals, we all received deliverance all at the same time, but because there was no door-closing prayer, and because we did not deal with ungodly soul ties, there was a lot of manifestations. And you can imagine the kind of pandemonium that there might have been in that auditorium at that point in time. From that point in time, I was in the process of both receiving deliverance and ministering deliverance. And for several years, my wife and I were members of a Presbyterian church here in Oklahoma City, Greystone Presbyterian Church, that was in West Nichols Hills area. It's a very prominent area of Oklahoma City. And we would actually minister deliverance in the parlor. And so the pastor and I were involved in ministering deliverance at that point in time. And of course, in 1972, I was only 24 years old. And our daughter was only 2 years old at the time. And so we were pretty young, and it was just good to be a part of what was going on in the wave of the Holy Spirit that was in the early 70s in Oklahoma City. I would have to say that through the years, we continued to minister deliverance, but we were mainly ministering in the church that we were attending. And then at one point in time, we were led to other churches, and and we're not actually ministering deliverance at that point in time. We did get some training, which is part of what we do with Deliverance Ministries, probably in the late 70s or early 80s, when the Happy Hunters came to Oklahoma City, and there were several churches that came together, and at the Cox Convention Center downtown, we ended up ministering healing. I had gone through the video series with people in our church and helped to train them in the basically the limb check, which we do, and that is the neck thing, the arm thing, the hip thing, and the leg thing. And in that meeting, as the Holy Spirit was very real and there were thousands of people in attendance, we were able to minister to two women who had severe scoliosis. And as we were going through the process of ministering, one of the things that we saw as we spoke to their backs and commanded them to straighten up as we were doing the limb check and as we were going through the hip thing, their backs totally straightened up. And it was just really amazing to see that in process. When I became acquainted with, I'd known about Everett for decades, but just really had not been participating with his ministry until about, I'd say a little over 8 years ago here in Oklahoma City. And so I was experiencing some challenges as a result of the trauma of change. Business was changing, and the mortgage industry was going through some major changes. I was in the mortgage business at the time. And so I came to Everett's office, and the process of breaking ungodly soul ties really made a lot of difference, and I felt a lot freer after receiving ministry. And then my wife came to his office, and we received, or she received ministry, and then we started going to the meetings on Monday night. And since it had been such a big part of our the beginning of our Christian life, the beginning of being filled with the Spirit, we just were hooked. And just the idea of being able to see other people helped, people who came to our meetings totally downcast, and then to really see them totally set free, and to see arms and legs moving as much as 1.5 and 2 inches, and the pain in people's physical body going away. And as we do the limb check, we also speak to the organs in their body in case there are organs that are not functioning properly. Especially when people are having specific symptoms, And we've seen a lot of those symptoms go away, and some of the surgeries that people were needing, they no longer needed. And so at the present time, we're ministering to anywhere from 12 to 20 people on a Monday evening, and we're seeing some amazing things happen. And the thing that I like the most, as we work together, is the fact that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And so we're able to experience the anointing together as we have team members that have come from many different types of churches all across Oklahoma City to be able to minister on Monday night and have the excitement of seeing people's lives changed right in front of our eyes in just a few hours. It's just, it's an amazing thing that happens, and it's unfortunate that in our society, in the church, we have opened up the door to the enemy in so many ways. And of course, when someone is coming to the Lord, recently I was in Cuba for 13 days, and one of the things that people who come to the Lord in Cuba, and in our meetings, we had several people that were actually saved in the meetings, and they were filled with the Spirit, and then they were planning on following Jesus in baptism, but they also were going to be going through a deliverance process, because that's a normal part of Christianity in Cuba. It's a normal part of Christianity in a lot of other countries, but it seems like in the United States, most churches and many pastors don't want to deal with the demonic realm, and yet that's where people can really get set free, and that's where they can enjoy the joy of their salvation. And so it's a lot of fun working with Everett and being able to see many things happen in people's lives.
It's high adventure, amen?
It is high adventure.
Well, that was a great testimony, and of course, I enjoy working with Richard, and he brings a lot of gifts to the ministry that I lack, and he's done deliverance a lot longer than I have, and it's a pleasure. He's been a wonderful asset to deliverance ministries here in Oklahoma City. Well,
one thing that I might mention, Mark or Everett, is one of the things that I learned from Mark Verkler is sometimes Christians get all bent out of shape because they think that a demon can't be in a person. And one of the things that Mark Verkler said that I thought really helped in relationship to that, and that is, well, if a demon is in you, or a demon is on you, influencing you, or whether a demon visits from time to time, wouldn't you like to get rid of him?
Right.
And so it's a matter of getting rid of oppression. And it doesn't, you know, some people get really caught up in the fact that, well, a Christian can't have a demon. Well, that's an American philosophy. That's not a biblical theology. And so it's a matter of influence. And people do come under influence of darkness.
Yes, and doctrines of demons that we read about. Well, praise God, we're all learning. and we're learning to set the people free and see them physically healed that otherwise probably would not have been. So it's a responsibility, but also a great joy and fulfillment. I know Richard and all of the team leaders of Deliverance Ministries and myself as well, after ministry, we're on highs. And it'll last for several days in most cases. And the not only do the people that we minister to leave with big smiles, but the team leaders leave with big smiles, having seen and received such fulfillment and God's power actually move and touch people and using little us as vessels to do it. It's an awesome thought. I just praise God. Somebody shared with me. I could have missed it very easily.
Amen. Amen to that. Richard, excellent testimony. It spoke to me, and there. Just when we think we've got things figured out, you know, that we come to realize that we're about ready to graduate kindergarten and move on to first grade. And
that's true.
You know, yeah. And I think it's like that with each and every one of us, and whether we admit it or not, it truly is. There's a few things about our God, and things like grace and mercy and love and deliverance and those type things that, we have our understanding of it, but the Bible says we see through the glass darkly. You know, we don't have a full understanding, and so we are to be growing in His grace and His knowledge. Not to be like those that were ever learning but never coming to His knowledge, but growing in His grace and knowledge. And when we glorify Him in it, when we give Jesus Christ the praise and the honor and the glory, and it's Christ that heals, it's Christ that delivers, it certainly is. And, you know, thank God He uses His people as tools, as voices, as mouthpieces, as instruments, in His will. Praise God, He does it.
Yes.
Well, guys, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being on the radio tonight, and I know it was an encouragement to those tuning in. I know it was. It was an encouragement to me. It was.
Well, God bless you all.
Yep. Thank you so much. And folks, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. If you have questions for Pastor Cox and Deliverance Ministries, if you send them to us, we'll sure get them right on to him. Thanks a lot.
A perfect picture of a hopeless case. It seems like every breath of hope has died. Darkness came to take out.